just basic.
Make sure. It's Sunday, March 19th. This is Ellen Norrie. I'm interviewing Cindy Reinhart for the SIUE 50th Anniversary History. So I usually start out by asking people how they happen to come to SIUE and to describe their job through the years.
Okay. Well, I came to SIUE as a student.
Okay. Good.
And after 1 year full-time as a student, I decided that I needed to get, I was trying to do babysitting mm-hmm. at home in the afternoons while going to school in the morning. Mm-hmm. And eventually your schedule just doesn't work. Uh-huh. So then I had to find some other kind of a job, and I got a job at the bookstore as a student worker in the book department.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that for a year, but I was going to school full-time, and I was working 30 hours a week, and I had a preschooler.
Carry.
Yeah. And so it was just a little too much. So then I became a civil service employee where I could work 37 and a half hours a week, uh-huh. but just go to school part-time and mm-hmm. not have all that homework
mm-hmm.
after I got home.
What was your major?
Business. I love history and English, but mm-hmm. I didn't think I could make a living.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you're lucky.
Did you specialize in anything in business, like accounting or?
Marketing.
Marketing, okay. Mm-hmm. That was good for your job. And did you participate in the 70s, there was an organization of mothers who lobbied to get child care on campus. Were you part of that?
No, because this was the late 70s when I started there. And as a matter of fact, when I got the job at the bookstore, even before that, when I first started a school there, Carrie attended the daycare. That's when the early childhood center
yes.
was in the house where the
yeah,
credit
okay.
union is now.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that was in the, yeah, I think that organization was in the late 60s. I've come to think of it.
Yeah. They already had yeah. an early uh-huh. childhood center.
Yeah. But it was a mother's initiative that mm-hmm. got it. You know, so.
Yeah. She okay. went in the morning, and then mm-hmm. I would go pick up Carrie. You could only go for a half day at that mm-hmm. time. And so I would have my classes in the morning, and then I would go pick up Carrie and another child that I babysat in the afternoon.
Oh, my. Well, that's nice for Carrie to have a friend like that
yeah.
to play with. Neat. So you were who was managing the bookstore then?
My first day at the bookstore as a student worker was Elaine Smith's last day as manager.
Okay.
So then Dolores Shea became manager.
Mm-hmm. And she's just retiring, or just did retire?
No, that was Dolores retired, I don't know, maybe 6-7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Darlene Fox then became manager.
Okay.
And she was at the bookstore for mm-hmm. well over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she became manager after Dolores left.
Okay.
And now
okay.
she just retired
yeah.
first in the year.
Okay. I remember seeing something about that. Okay. Now you were the secretary to the manager in your civil service position?
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I did that for until I got my degree, and after I finished my degree in 83,
mm-hmm.
I started looking for a job, but then it came
uh-huh.
up that the assistant manager, who was the book buyer, was going to be moving on. So I applied for that position
mm-hmm.
and was able to move into that slot.
Okay.
And that's where I've been ever since.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've been assistant manager since 83?
Since 84.
Since 84, okay.
Yeah. And I have that here, too.
Yeah, I can see that. Now, the bookstore, has the bookstore always been pretty much the same during your time there? Has it always featured a mixture of university
of
products and books?
It has changed quite a bit. It's always had the trade books as long as I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
But the product mix has changed, particularly since they built the residence halls.
Mm-hmm.
That's made a huge difference
mm-hmm.
in school spirit, wanting to own your school. We sell a lot more of the imprinted merchandise than mm-hmm. we used to. So there's been a big change there. And there's more traffic in the building.
Yes, I can tell that, see that.
Yeah.
Do you, are you the person who's responsible for the allocation of space in the bookstore? I mean, pretty much?
Well, that's the manager, I guess, primarily.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, we don't have one right now, but
yeah.
the books have pretty much always been in the same
okay.
in the same location, and it's like there's the book area and then the rest mm-hmm. of the store.
Yes.
And at one time we had two assistant managers, and there was assistant manager of operations, which was the non-book side, mm-hmm. and then there was assistant manager of books, which is mm-hmm. trade and text.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time they actually had textbook service under that position also.
But
it really just didn't work because you were needed in two places at the same time during rush.
Uh-huh.
So it was just impossible to do. So now they've got a director over at textbook mm-hmm. service.
Are you finding that since you start? I'm just asking. You started to get used books,
mm-hmm.
and is that a pretty big part of your market now for classes?
We get as many as we can.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a big buyback at mm-hmm. the end of the semesters. We do have a company that comes in and does that, but because most of the books that are bought and sold. Mm-hmm. at other campuses, those are all the rental books at our campus.
Oh, okay.
So we have this used book company that comes in at the end of the semester, and with 14,000 students, they may get 8 boxes of books.
Oh, really?
They're just not.
Mm-hmm. Do they set up a booth outside the bookstore?
Yes, in front of the bookstore.
Uh-huh.
And we put up flyers around campus to mm-hmm. notify students, but there's just not a lot of books to sell back.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a workbook, of course, it doesn't have any value.
Right.
If it's an old edition, that doesn't have any mm-hmm. value. And if it's a rental book, they turn it back in. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you foresee that if textbook rental is abolished?
I can't see that ever happening.
Uh-huh.
Right now, mm-hmm. Campuses across the country are faced with legislators that are trying to make it law that state universities have to go to rental systems because the price of textbooks has gone up so high.
Mm-hmm.
Textbook service here at SIUE gets at least 2 calls a month, if not more, from uh-huh. other schools where they were told to look into getting a rental system.
Mm-hmm. I know they run in the red. Pretty much for quite a long time. And I know that there's discussion among the faculty about abolishing it. But I think it probably is a tremendous savings on those big science books and on those big American history textbooks.
If you're in the sciences, mm-hmm. Your textbooks could run $800-$900
yes,
a semester.
Uh-huh. Right.
So I mean, it's saving hundreds of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've never really been in favor of abolishing.
And the students always have the option to buy.
Mm-hmm.
No one is discouraging them from buying their textbook.
Yes.
And at a discount.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's people that say, well, it's not fostering an ownership. But the thing is, those same students that, if they didn't have rental, would have to buy their books, and they're the same ones that would be selling it back at the end of the semester
mm-hmm.
anyway. So.
Mm-hmm.
And if they really want to own the book and keep the book, they're mm-hmm. not going to, they'll keep it, but they're the
right.
same ones that would buy it from textbook service.
Right. I agree with that. I think I do agree with that. Do you remember your graduation? Did you go to graduation when you graduated in 83?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Uh-huh. Did your family come, and do you remember?
My parents
uh-huh.
came. It was when they still had the graduations outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter was maybe 4, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
She was a little older than that. She must have been older than that. But anyway, I remember thinking, you know, that I thought it was important for her to see Mom getting a diploma.
Sure.
You know. And I remember sitting there in the chairs, and you know, when it was outdoors, people seemed to feel that it was okay to step out. And at first, you know, I stayed in my chair because I thought, you know, it's rude to get your diploma and leave.
Uh-huh.
And so I stayed in my chair, and pretty soon there was no one sitting anywhere close to me.
Oh, really?
And my family is over at the side saying, come on, come on. And I looked around, and I thought, oh, well, I'm going to go too. I mean, there were literally like rows where I was the only person left because everyone was getting their diploma and just leaving.
And leaving.
But that was before they split the graduation, so it was all one gigantic graduation. And School of Business came first. and so you had a long time to wait before the rest of the students would get through.
Sure. Well, that's interesting. And it didn't rain or anything. Do you remember the speaker at your... I'm just curious about people. Not at all. Uh-huh.
No.
So this was in May of 83?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or was it June of 83 because we were still on quarters,
you know,
in 83?
I was kind of, I don't remember for sure.
Okay, okay. I think it's probably June.
It was May or June, yeah.
It's May under semesters.
Yeah.
I think it's probably June.
I think you're right on that.
That doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But I'm just wondering about your memories of it. Well, what about your classes in the business school? Do you remember any of your professors? And did you have a feeling of becoming a professional as you studied in the School of Business? Did you feel that you were in a part of an avant-garde group? Or
not really. You know, I had worked in businesses before, you know, as a secretary.
Uh-huh.
But in business environments, small businesses, that sort of thing, I'd done bookkeeping and I'd done accounting. So a lot of what I was learning was building on what I had already learned in the outside world. Being an older student going back to school, it was probably a very different experience than what someone going straight out of high school would have experienced.
Okay.
So I found the classes interesting, except for economics. I just hated economics. And I can't fault the instructors. It just was one of those subjects that made my eyes want to glaze over.
Okay.
As I said, my real interest was in history and in English.
Yes.
But I just didn't think that it would be a practical. It just seemed like you had to be really lucky to get a job in your field.
As an older student, did you understand the concept of general education and then specialization? Did you understand that as a student? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I did. I had a lot of that done. I had a year of college at Wisconsin Lutheran Teachers College in Milwaukee. So I didn't come in with no credits. And I had already started that general education.
Okay.
Phase of my degree. But I did do some, I know I took an English 102 class. I had had English 101. I took an English 102 class, and I had George Soule was my instructor. And I was working on a project with genealogy at the time. And I had taken a piece of my family's history, which is the Nickel Sand Company.
Yes, I read that book.
And I decided, you know, well, I'm going to make this my paper if George will go along with it, because then I can have him prove it for me. So that's what I did. I approached him with it, and so I had like a 100-page English 102 paper.
Now, George Soule, S-O-U-L-E?
Yes.
Is he married to Allison Funk?
Yes.
Okay. Because I never know his name. I only know Allison's last name.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
know them. You know, they're friends of ours, but I never knew exactly what his name. Okay, yeah. Well, he would have loved something like that.
So that was kind of fun. Right?
Yeah.
And then I had Norman.
Oh, yeah, okay.
For a history class. And as a matter of fact, that was one of the first classes that I took at SIUE. And that kind of put me at ease, you know, because when you go back to school after so long, you know, your first thing is, am I going to be able to do all right?
Sure.
And I soon realized that, you know, no one was going to yell at me for being stupid, not a step or anything. At SIUE, you found that there were a lot of students your age. There were students that are even older than you were. And that the faculty was very open and cooperative with what pretty much whatever you wanted to do. Of course, I didn't ask them to do something really outlandish, but...
That's interesting. Well, how old were you when you... Oh, you were born in 51. You were in your 30s and late early 40s when you were at SIU? Oh, you were in your late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. I wasn't too far outside of the...
No.
But you feel like you are.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you've been, you know, married for 7 or 8 years and you have a little one at home and...
Yes.
That sort of thing. You feel like you're going to go to that first class and find all 18-year-olds. You know?
Right. So, did you, as a student, did you, let's see, wait, let me turn it off a minute. Looking back on your years as a student, what, and maybe working now as a staff person,
mm-hmm.
what do you think is unique about the university? Now, you went to another college, so you have some basis for comparison.
Uh-huh.
But looking back, do you think that, but you work in a field which is common to lots of other universities, so.
Right, but they didn't have it, the other school that I went, that I attended,
because
that was a teacher's college, so
mm-hmm.
everything was geared towards education.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, really I think the campus itself is the most unique.
Uh-huh.
The landscape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we hear people commenting on
yes.
most often.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people visiting the campus. Mm-hmm. It's got good programs and things like that, but a lot of schools have good programs.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be that when I was a student, I was the type that I came in and I went to my classes and I left.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, that was really common.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't see much in terms of, I don't think there were many Greek organizations.
Mm-hmm.
They were there, but not that active. Student mm-hmm. programming wasn't like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
They just have a lot more for the students to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. It's really... do you have any you were in the community of readers.
Mm-hmm.
That was the early 90s? The community of readers?
You know, I was going to look that up.
Uh-huh. I think it was.
I could get you, I've got
because
some
I,
of the books at home, and I think they're autographed, and they usually dated them.
Spiegelman.
Yes, Art Spiegelman.
Art Spiegelman came
in. And they had Johnson that wrote Middle Passage.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the books. He didn't
mm-hmm.
come, I don't believe. Spiegelman is the only one that came.
Mm-hmm.
But they had several books for the year. And Louise Erdberg.
Love Medicine.
Was that?
I think.
No, Yellow Raft and Blue Water.
Oh, Louise Erdrich and then her husband. That was a dual book.
Yeah.
But
that was...
Uh-huh.
And
mm-hmm.
I'm sure the library's probably got something that that has the whole program.
And were you on the committee for the community readers?
Yes.
Because of the bookstore having to order the books and have them ready and everything.
Right.
I read all of those books.
Julie Hansen.
Yes, Julie Hansen.
In charge of it. And I'll tell you, it was very successful,
mm-hmm.
but it took a tremendous amount of man hours to, I know Julie, with someone else who I can't remember her name, Carolyn, I think, something. Anyway, they got a grant, and that's how they
mm-hmm.
were able to bring Spiegelman. But,
mm-hmm.
It just was a huge number of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some departments don't give you time away from your department.
Yes.
I know the bookstore, it's never, if you're involved in campus activities, we've never been given time away
mm-hmm.
For other campus activities.
Mm-hmm.
for instance, I'm with Friends of Theater and Dance.
Mm-hmm.
I took a vacation day in February
uh-huh.
to do all day for auditions for scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
It's just understood that if you're involved with these other organizations, that mm-hmm. that's on your time.
Mm-hmm. I see. Is that true of all the offices at SIUE?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Because you've got other departments and faculty that are, faculty don't get time away from classes, of course, but I know there are other departments where
mm-hmm.
that's considered just a part of their job, you
mm-hmm.
know.
Hmm. How did you get involved in Friends of Theater and Dance?
Well, we had been members, and I've just always, enjoyed the performances and
mm-hmm.
have always admired people that can do that kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was asked if I would be interested in being on the board, and
mm-hmm.
and it's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Very rewarding when you take everything that you earn and you turn around and you give it to these students that, you know, when you're involved in productions, you just don't have the time
mm-hmm.
to work as many hours as what some other students.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the set designs and the lighting,
yes.
and these things take hundreds of hours with every
mm-hmm.
performance,
mm-hmm.
every show that they do. They're making costumes
mm-hmm.
and going to rehearsals, and a lot of times the people going to rehearsals are also making costumes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be able to help them get out of school without quite as much debt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's neat. And what about A Book in Every Home? Are you involved in that as part of the bookstore also?
Yes, but also, I had a personal interest too.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really disappointed when that fell apart. That had been Kay Werner's.
Yes, I thought it was still going on.
No,
oh.
It kind of folded when she left. We didn't have anyone that was able to dedicate the time.
Mm-hmm.
needed to it.
Hmm. Hmm.
And that's a case too where now with that program
mm-hmm.
I was, you know, it was acceptable for me to leave, and I mean, you
yes.
don't want to say it's because it was the Chancellor's wife.
Yes.
And there was a direct connection with books. But that was an organization that I was able to go to on work time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think there might have been people who maybe their departments weren't as willing to let them spend the time
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't the Chancellor's wife.
Uh-huh.
And that's not to say anything derogatory about Kay at all, because
no,
she was fabulous
uh-huh.
at it. A real asset. And that's and I also don't mean that to be anything against
no.
the current Chancellor's wife, because Sue Vandegrift, you know, she just has everyone. If you're going to volunteer, you volunteer where your interests are,
mm-hmm.
and she's finding her niche also.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been nice if the program could have continued, but you needed somebody that could devote maybe 10, 12 hours a week at least,
mm-hmm.
and that would be during your slow times.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Now, do you, and you're also involved in Friends, I'll just go on with these SIUE things, you're also in Friends of Lovejoy Library.
And what we do, Mike and I both, we like with the bookstore, when we have maybe some books that don't sell very well,
mm-hmm.
Or that we just had too many copies,
mm-hmm.
we'll donate those to the Friendship Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Mike helps with the antiques, and
mm-hmm.
and he does things with the Friendship Shop also.
Mm-hmm. And have you always been involved in that since you started working in the bookstore? And
we've always been members.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll do donations over there.
Mm-hmm.
Through the bookstore.
Yeah. We're members of that. Okay, and now you're active in the Alumni Association as
well,
a lifetime member.
Well,
That isn't true of everybody
that I've interviewed. Well, we just go to, you know, we've gone to a couple of events, like when they have a ball game day or something
uh-huh.
like that. You know, so it's not like real active.
But uh-huh.
Maybe a little bit more than, you know, mm-hmm. they'll have a Cardinals-Cub game that's alumni day, and we'll go to something like that when we can.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we can go to Chicago this year. Because they have one in Chicago.
Oh, good. No.
And then Carrie is really active in the Alumni Association in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, she's one of the contact people, you know, when they want to have when they're going to have an event up there.
Okay.
In recent years.
Mm-hmm.
She and a couple of her friends, they know a lot of the people that are in the Chicago area.
Mm-hmm.
So, I've been giving her lifetime membership for Valentine's Day every year.
This
will be
nice.
Her last year. She'll have her lifetime membership all taken care of.
Uh-huh.
You know, ever since she was real little,
mm-hmm.
with SIUE paying half tuition,
mm-hmm.
for your children of SIUE employees,
mm-hmm.
Since she was real young, she was told, you will go to SIUE, you will graduate in 4 years, because this is what we can afford, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she had regrets about not going away to school,
mm-hmm.
But really not many. She said, you know, she enjoyed her time at SIUE.
Mm-hmm.
So we're a two-generation family.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended up with a great job
mm-hmm.
from it, got an internship at SIUE that led right into
Great.
A position after college. And
what was her internship? Do you remember?
She was with UPS,
mm-hmm.
and she was a recruiter on college campuses. She mm-hmm. would go out to all the schools in the area and recruit mm-hmm. people to work for UPS.
And that turned into a permanent position?
Well, that experience, she then got a job as a recruiter
mm-hmm.
for a computer consulting firm.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's, then she went to being a career services advisor at the Chicago Institute of Art.
Hmm.
I think it was at Illinois Institute of Art in Chicago. Not the one connected with the museum.
Okay.
Okay. I've always got them mixed up. But anyway, now she is back in personnel. Working to, you know, it was all related, and
mm-hmm.
it started with that internship at UPS.
Okay. Oh, that's nice to know.
Yeah.
That's really great. Well, are you in a union at school?
Yeah, I'm part of ASME. And I've had people various times go, well, aren't you management? Shouldn't you not be in this union? And as a matter
uh-huh.
of fact, I'm exempt, which means if I work more than 37 and a half hours a week, I don't get paid for it.
Uh-huh.
But I could probably request that my position be taken out of the union
mm-hmm.
at any time, but the union has been very good to me. When I started as assistant manager at the bookstore, I only made like $13,000 a year.
Oh, gosh.
And a huge responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, when you look at it as being a part of the educational
mm-hmm.
mission, without textbooks,
right.
you know, You're not going to go very far.
That's true.
And then this huge trade department. But, I mean, SIUE has been notorious
mm-hmm.
for being the lowest paid civil service in the
mm-hmm.
state. And I think that has improved. But back when I started, it was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if it had not been for two equity studies that were done over the years, I would probably today be at a third of what I... My
mm-hmm.
salary would be a third of what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I feel like I owe the union
mm-hmm.
that loyalty.
Yes.
They need the numbers.
So this is the American Federation of State and Municipal Employees?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure I get it right. Yes, I'm thinking of having a chapter in the book on unions at SIUE. I don't know if the professor will still go for it, but I know unions' contributions were really important
mm-hmm.
in getting hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy the land in the first place. And there was they had a lot of momentum to get the university because they wanted it for their children. And And I know there's different yes. stories of the unions. And it's like, have you ever been a negotiator?
No, but Mike has, I think.
Uh-huh.
Mike was on the board with the union for...
I should have asked Mike about that.
Really, up until the time that he transferred to the mm-hmm. library, because then he was no longer in Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
And Paula Ogg was president for years.
Yeah, Paula Ogg.
We don't have one of those unions that's real.
Where it is, it isn't really a source of community in your life.
No.
No, okay.
But you know that they're there, and you know that, you know, they're fighting for, you know, these equity
yes. things
especially. I think at one time the figures were, and you should probably look this up before making it a part.
Yeah.
But at one time the civil service staff were the lowest paid of all of the state university employees.
Mm-hmm.
And state university civil service are lower paid than regular state civil service.
Mm-hmm.
But the faculty were second highest.
Hmm.
So, you know, there was a real discrepancy there.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you see people coming in. I know we had a... I know that the secretaries at SIUE over the years, there have been various ones that... You know, they're single, maybe they're single with a child.
Mm-hmm.
They qualify for food stamps.
And
with the amount of skill
mm-hmm.
needed to be a secretary on that campus.
Yes.
I just think it's really sad that that they were not compensated.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you feel, I want to write about that, because I've always been concerned about that. Since I came to work there, that the secretaries are so lowly paid.
Well, and over the last 20 years, they've had to have
mm-hmm.
So much more skill.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you almost have to have a degree in English.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them do budgets.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know finances. You've got to be an expert at the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Many of them are the computer resource person for
yes.
their department. Some of the academic departments, I mean, they're teaching the faculty how to use the computers.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. They have to be excellent at customer service.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be able to juggle about 50 things at once.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
a lot of these things, I mean, it used to be they just... You know, they did the customer service thing, and they typed correspondence and things that
mm-hmm.
were handed to them. But a lot of times now, they are the originator of the documents.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it varies from department to department.
Yes.
But you still have to have a lot more skills
mm-hmm.
than you had to have 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm. That's really a good point. Very good point. And so AFSCME is their union,
mm-hmm.
and the union for
yeah.
those people. And you have chosen to remain in the union, even though because of your position,
because
you could have opted out because you owe it to them, because
mm-hmm.
they, through their equity studies, they got, yeah, okay.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. That's very great.
And I'm still only at a point where a lot of the kids that are graduating go
yeah.
out and find jobs that start at what I'm making now after almost, well, what's it been, 27 years?
Yes.
But, you know, my needs are simple, as long as I'm making a decent living.
Uh-huh. Well, when Nancy Belt came, I think there had been a long negotiation going on with AFSCME, and she settled the meeting very quickly, and that was a condition of her accepting the job. I understood then, but you don't know...
I don't remember the
memory
dates
of that.
And
okay.
things like that. There again,
okay.
Mike might be able to help you with
yeah.
some of that stuff,
okay.
because he keeps notes on everything.
Okay.
And I wasn't directly involved in the negotiations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. And I know at different times there have been picket lines and things, yeah.
Informational. Yeah.
Informational, right,
mm-hmm.
during the negotiation. Oh, I'm glad I asked you about that. And you're also extremely active in the community. With Friends of LeClaire, and the as a member of the Preservation Commission, and your church, and and the Friends of the Granite City Library. Do you feel that in those organizations that you represent the university? Are you seen as a representative of the university?
In some ways, with Friends of LeClaire, as you know, I've helped with some classes. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm working with an intern in the history department. So that I find that my jobs are kind of overlapping mm-hmm. in those areas. And with HPC, I'm considered the LeClaire representative.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the intern is, officially, the internship is with HPC.
Okay. Oh, but you're the one who got the intern? Or how did you get it?
Well, I had, I'd been working with Laura Milsk Fowler.
Mm-hmm.
She
yeah.
had a class, uh-huh. and she knew that, she had a class that was working on a house survey of LeClaire,
mm-hmm.
and she knew that we needed more done. I mean, mm-hmm. there's over 400 properties.
Uh-huh.
So she called one day and she said, would you be interested? And
yeah.
jumped at it.
Uh-huh.
the same way Annie Vault called about the oral history class.
Uh-huh.
And we now have some mm-hmm. oral histories of LeClaire
mm-hmm.
from that class.
So this is an example of your collaboration in an outside agency with the university, and because mm-hmm. you're at the university, it's easy for people to get in touch with you and
right.
talk about this. And does working with the intern, I'm just asking, does it constitute another extra job for you? Because you have to fill out
no.
evaluation, or do you feel you get work out of the intern that justifies the time you might spend?
I'm actually not having to spend very much time at all. Mm-hmm. I had the forms that mm-hmm. Are to be
Good.
Filled out, the architectural surveys, I provided those, and she's pretty much just working on
okay.
on her own so many hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
I provided maps that, mm-hmm. that divided the neighborhood into sections. She's
mm-hmm.
on her fourth section.
Good. Well, that sounds good.
And we just touch base by email
mm-hmm.
ever so often. So it's not taking up a lot of time. But it kind of connects. And I understand, you know, I'm not a native of Edwardsville.
Yes.
But I understand that early days there was a lot of resentment with some of the townspeople with the university. And
mm-hmm.
there was a big divide. And I think I'm sort of an example of how the university
uh-huh.
and the town have come together
mm-hmm.
and are embracing each other
yes.
Now.
Yes.
You're finding more people from town doing things at the university
mm-hmm.
and the university coming to town for
mm-hmm.
more things. And there used to be this really sharp divide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's going to be one of my themes too in the book, exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
So you provide one example and then Richard Walker provides another one.
Yeah.
And then Reba Klanke is another one in her work with
mm-hmm.
builders and yeah, that's good.
Rich Madison too.
Yes, I haven't called him yet. He's
yeah.
I don't know why I've delayed calling him. I guess I always felt really bad about that he left and I don't know.
Have you talked to Lyle Ward?
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to him yet either. I haven't called them because I think I felt sad about the circumstances of their relationship with the university, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I was afraid of getting turned down, but I know I have to call him. I just, somehow I've had a psychological block
yeah.
against it.
Well, Lyle's going to be working with Steve Kerber on something about the MRI.
Oh, he's doing this fantastic CD. I'm going very lightly on the MRF.
Yeah.
But
in Lyle and Rich both, I believe, were students at SIUE
uh-huh.
that worked their way up.
So I have to call them. They'll be the next people I'll call, actually.
And Lyle's wife, Shirley, was on campus at the same time.
I could interview her, too. Maybe I could interview them together.
I would think you could.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And I know that there was.
I know they're really
nice
people.
There was some action at. There was some protests about the Vietnam War, mm-hmm. back in the 60s. Not anything big at SIUE because it was mostly commuter, you know. Mm-hmm. But Lyle and Shirley would be able to tell you about that.
Oh, that's good. Okay, good. Give me reason to. It's just I have a psychological block about calling them. I don't know.
Oh, they're really nice.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Also, partly I think it was because he's working with Steve on this thing, and I was afraid.
Oh no.
No, he might not be forthcoming. But okay, I'll call him up. Thank you. Anyway, I like this theme that your community work with Friends of the Player and HPC. You know, as part of bringing the university and the community closer together. Are there any other themes that you expected in this interview that we haven't talked about, or anything you'd like to develop as a person creating a source?
I don't know about that. I was thinking about some of the things about the bookstore.
Yeah.
I had to fill out a form not too long ago, and one of the first things it said was date established. And I thought, you know, I don't know when the bookstore did start. And so I started asking around.
Uh-huh.
I contacted John Oxford because I knew he
uh-huh.
had been a
Did you
manager.
Call him in Victoria?
I emailed him. Uh-huh. and then he showed up at the bookstore. He,
uh-huh.
he was down. He comes down from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that when he became manager, there were actually three bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
There was one in East St. Louis, one in Alton, and one in the basement of Lovejoy Library.
Mm-hmm.
Only when he was hired to manage the bookstore, for some reason no one mentioned the one in East St. Louis.
Huh.
And he said he was there for about 3 months, and finally this woman called and said, John, aren't you going to come down and see our store? And he said he just kind of played along, but in the course of the conversation, he found out he had a third store.
Oh, my.
and he made his way down there immediately.
This was about 1965 then, when they opened the bookstore, when they opened Lovejoy, was the bookstore opened simultaneously when the building opened?
That's my understanding.
Okay.
They had it wasn't actually a store, it's just like purchasing ordered the textbooks,
mm-hmm.
and then they distributed them to East St. Louis and to Alton,
mm-hmm.
but they were all ordered from Edwardsville.
Okay.
And when John started too, he said they did everything up at the dental school. He said he'll never forget the day that they got a shipment of cadavers in. And he said he just knew, and you know, he didn't know what to expect. And they opened the back of the van, and he said the stench was just so overpowering. He said they all kind of backed up, and this Eldon, I can't remember Eldon's last name, Mike would know, but Eldon was the warehouse person then. He was the warehouse guy before Mike. And he just took one look and leaned over and lost his cookies.
Oh, dear.
He said they had to order the gold, they ordered the instruments, they ordered everything for the dental school, including the cadavers.
Oh, dear.
That they use for anatomy classes. These days, the bookstore orders textbooks for the dental school, and we go up once a year in August,
mm-hmm.
and have the big book sale. We set up a store there for 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, we don't order all of the other things the dental school takes care of ordering,
because mm-hmm.
there's no permanent store up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the bookstore used to participate in things like, can you remember when we had a Goshen Ocean?
Yes,
those
I can
were,
remember
those
that.
Those were so much fun in the
uh-huh.
university center.
Yes,
they
brought in sand.
They filled the Goshen Lounge with sand and set up volleyball nets.
Uh-huh.
And they lined it with plastic and then
mm-hmm.
filled it with sand. And they would have, you know, guys out there without shirts on in the middle of winter playing sand volleyball. And they'd have sand building contests. And they did that a couple of times. But that was always a real popular event.
This was
students.
In the 80s. Or it was in the 90, early
well,
90s, it seems like to me. 89, 80, 90.
I know we did one when Carrie was about 3 or 4 years old, because I've got a picture of her, because we had a fashion show. The bookstore had a fashion show, and they modeled all the spring clothes, and she was our child model.
Okay.
And I have a picture of that. But I've been going
through... It must have been early 80s then.
Carrie was born in 75.
Okay.
So I was probably still a student worker at the time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah. And we'd have the fashion shows from time to time.
And what was the bookstore's role in Goshen Ocean? Did you have some books about beach? Or?
Well, we had a fashion show.
Fashion show,
part of the Goshen Ocean.
Okay. Doesn't seem to connect very well with bookstore, but...
Well, the summer clothes would have just, you know, we would just...
Oh, the summer clothes from the bookstore.
Clothing from the bookstore.
Yeah. Okay.
SIU clothing. SIUE clothing.
Okay.
And, of course, the other odd thing is that it's with the bookstore and the history of SIUE. SIUE has had trouble getting an identity.
Yes.
And part of it is, and we see this a lot at the bookstore because of the marketing, they can't settle on a logo. I mean, it has changed so many times over the past.
Yes.
Especially in the 90s. It was changing every time you turned around. And they would change it, and they would say, now we don't want you selling any of that stuff with the old logo on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we had the Comfort Inn logo. We had the ball that looked like the Comfort Inns.
That was after Nancy Belk had a really beautiful one.
And the Rolling Hills.
Which
people loved that one.
Yes. And the arch. It was beautiful.
When you want to promote something, the best way to promote it is to have a logo that people like and they want to wear, and you know, they'll put on things, you know. And we've had some dandy.
Cougar, the snarling cougar.
Well, see, now that's athletics logo.
Oh, okay.
That's athletics, which that's what you need to do licensing to carry anywhere.
Okay.
It's licensed through the athletics. But the thing with that cougar is that most people don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
People don't want to wear that. I mean, we go to vendors, and they'll say, well, where's your logo? And we show it to them, and they go, ooh.
Uh-huh.
Who's going to want to wear that?
And then the red zone.
They recognize it as something that's not going to be successful as a seller. Personally... You remember the cougar that was just kind of the stained glass?
Pieces. Yeah. Suggested.
Yeah. Yeah. That one was very popular, had kind of a classic look. I mean, I don't know why they didn't stick with it. That's been the best cougar that they've had over the years.
Mm-hmm. Do they ever ask you about these things anywhere at the university? Does any of the marketing ever...
We're usually told.
Oh, okay.
Well,
you should get in touch. You should email Greg Conroy.
Oh, I know Greg real well.
Well, ask him, why don't you ask me about the logo and what sells and what people like? Or something.
Well, he doesn't really do that, though.
It's university printing and graphics.
It's marketing.
Okay, marketing.
University
okay.
marketing.
Okay.
You know, we go to all the shows and we see the logos that work. It's not something that we're consulted about.
Okay. That's too bad.
Our most successful thing has just been a plain square-lettered SIUE in bold.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure
I have some T-shirts with that.
The T-shirts with just the SIUE.
At the bookstore.
The bright
yes.
colors.
Yes.
We have sold 9,000 of those shirts to 14,000 students. That's a successful item.
And you have all these new spring colors now.
Yeah.
Pink and paper. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Oh yes,
but I think that lack of identity has been a problem. I think with the university, and I think it's because they don't get something and make it traditional and stick with it.
Uh huh.
Instead of having these, gimmicky things.
Mm-hmm.
Now they have the little E.
Yes, now the little. I was going to ask you about the little E. How do they put that on it? I haven't seen that on a T-shirt anywhere yet.
It is
Uh-huh. I haven't seen. I go to the gym, so yeah, I see a lot of them.
We've been told to carry it. Mm-hmm.
So, it just has a little E on it, and that's all?
No, it's a
E, and it has excellence. And
S-I-U in capitals, and then the little E is the same size as the capitals, but done as a lowercase.
Uh-huh.
And the buyers don't like it.
Okay.
We're selling quite a bit of it to departments that are supposed to be pushing it, but in general, the public is not fond of it.
Mm-hmm. And there's nothing else. It's just the block S-I-U-E with just a little E blown up. That's all it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think for a lot of us, you know, there's always been this thing where Carbondale's the main school and we're the little guys.
Uh-huh.
And to me, that little E just... It's just like, you know, look, we really are the little guys. But
yeah.
But they're pushing it. And I'm near retirement, so I can talk about it.
Yes, you certainly can. Well, it's too bad you can't break into... I think it is very important.
Yeah.
Well, these kinds of things are.
Yeah. But the time we knew about it, it was already, the university was committed to pushing it. Yeah. But see, that's not the official logo, though.
Mm-hmm.
The official logo is what you see where they've got it on the gates with the big E and the little E, you know, which isn't bad. But for shirts, you need, you know, Southern Illinois University, Edwardsville, with the two big E's on either end of Edwardsville and Southern Illinois University in between the two E's.
No, I haven't. I guess I ride by it on the bus every day, but I haven't really noticed its uniqueness.
The new gates that they're putting up, it's the way they have
okay.
it. That is the official logo.
Okay. See new entrance signs.
Yeah. But now if you want to put something on a shirt that is...
That's too much.
That's too much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people want something that's bolder.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the shows and you see, you know, like down in Texas, they've got the school logo that's just the head of the Longhorn steer. You know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, when you see that, you know what school that they're talking
sure.
about.
Sure.
Or, you know, I mean, Yale, it's nice and short. And,
yes.
You know, put it in block letters. And I think, you know, that four-letter school like that, that's why S-I-U-E, just simple.
Yeah.
By itself is so successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new one.
Yeah.
But we need that identity thing. And that's the same reason I think that this the statue of the cougar that they're working on, I think that's going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a symbol that you can take a picture of. And I think this is why the Rolling Hills was so great, because it symbolized the campus.
Uh-huh.
Well, our buildings, it's not that they're unattractive, it's just that they're not unique enough to make a symbol for the campus. And I think maybe this cougar statue could help with that.
Uh-huh.
They had a design for a fountain to go in there, you know, where they shortened the quality up. And I looked at it and I just thought, you know, I think they're trying to match the buildings, but this is going to be a big focal point of the campus. And this could be a marketing tool for the campus. And you need to make this something that people will, you know, I got to get a picture with this. I want that on a shirt, I want it on a mug, I want it, you know, and they had a design that was just a couple of brick pillars that...
Are they still going to put that up?
I think so, but I think they got a lot of comments like mine.
Okay.
And they went back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm. So where will the cougar statue be? I admit I haven't read the... I've seen the picture and I saw that Last Alesto had it.
You know, I forget what...
Is it going to be some in the quad?
I think it's going to be
where the rock is
on the side of the quad, but near the university center. But I'm not
sure. It's too bad they couldn't make a fountain out of it or something, like a kind of Roman fountain with a cougar in the middle.
But they need they need symbols.
I just interviewed Richard Walker, and I could have, but I don't know if it cost enough for him to be concerned. He doesn't get in until it's over. Quarter of a million. I'm sure the fountain doesn't cost that much. So maybe he doesn't know that.
I'll bet it does.
Oh. Okay.
Because I think the one at City Park was a quarter million.
Uh-huh. Okay, this the fountain. Maybe I'll email him and ask him about the fountain design, how it's going. I didn't ask him about the failed hotel project either. I was afraid he wouldn't tell me, and so I just let go of it.
Well, that was the funding was cut off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the Bank of Edwardsville. That just happens
That's what we heard. Right. Too bad. Okay, anything else? This was very interesting about the lack of identity and the relationship to the logo.
Something else with the main things I think see as having, you know, been changing over the years.
Do you sell a lot of trade books in the store?
Quite a few.
You sold a lot for it's speakers, different speakers.
Well, you know, we don't always sell a lot for the speakers, but we consider that a service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got another one coming up this week. It's at 4 o'clock. It's in a classroom in Peck Hall. And I don't anticipate selling more than 6 or 8 books, which, you know, that hardly covers bringing them in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a service that we do. Trade books have gone down somewhat, you know, thanks to Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
It's just easier for people to click. And
Right.
But I think it's an important part of the educational mission, I think, to have a trade book store, especially since they're, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 miles to the nearest one.
Yes. Yes, I've always have thought it was really a nice store, the way it was organized. Really good, good the way it's done.
Try to do what we can.
and it seemed to me that it always had more books than other university state institutions that I've been to.
Most universities are in town, and you'll find that there are other bookstores, you know, within a couple blocks of campus.
Mm-hmm.
But we've not had that until Peace of Mind. There was no other bookstore in town. You had to go. Probably Fairview Heights is the closest bookstore.
Mm-hmm. And then do you ever anymore get any flack from people in the town about competing?
Well, there are state laws about unfair competition.
Uh-huh.
So basically, outside of imprinted, we're not allowed to carry anything that we didn't carry prior to that legislation.
Okay.
So like if we decided we wanted to sell tennis shoes
that
didn't have SIUE on them, we wouldn't be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, so you could sell tennis shoes that had the SIUE
logo. They had SIUE on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Imprinted merchandise, we can sell anything.
Okay. And I noticed this week in the Intelligencer, there was an article about licensing the sale of imprinted merchandise to local.
They're talking about that, the cougar.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, the snarling cougar. And the red zone. Is the red zone on the back of the snarling cougar? That's another one that sounds, it's got a target on it in the red zone. That's creepy.
Some of the stuff, you know, you go to the shows, and like one of the things that I went to a seminar where they talked about teens, and they said, you know, the teens today are more mature.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are looking at the stuff that you used to look at, and you'd go, oh, wouldn't a teenager just love that? They probably won't, because they like Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
They like a sophisticated design and style, and they're the cutesy stuff that you used to think of as being for teens is now for junior high and younger.
Uh-huh.
And so I think if you go with something classic, you're not going to have to change.
Mm-hmm. Any other observations on the university, or did you have interaction
Did you know that burn is still on?
Oh no, I didn't.
All of a sudden, it registered.
Usually I don't have that happen very often. I don't know what I was just. I guess I dished it up and then just forgot to But thanks for telling me. That's what I could smell. I could. I said, why that ache smell lingered a long time. Okay, I won't write this.
You cut these parts
out,
right?
Yeah, right. I cut these parts out. I cut out a lot of whatever I say that isn't relevant. Yes, I interviewed Chris McGee, who was a student here in elementary education, whose family was involved with the Cougar Guard.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because that was, we had neighbors that were involved in the Cougar Guard.
Uh-huh.
And the second Cougar, which I don't remember its name now, but as a, what are they called, cubs?
Cub, yeah.
As a cub, it was next door quite often. But, you know, they were very nice people, but they were big guys.
Uh-huh.
And I think they roughhoused a little too much.
Oh.
And a lot of people were upset. I think it was the way that it was taken away.
Uh-huh. Yes. It was disappeared.
It was kind of underhanded. You know, people went away for a break between spring and summer, and they came back, and the whole cage was gone. And they took it all down in a weekend and took the animal away, you know. And it was like the cage was gone, so there was no bringing it back. But I had heard that, you know, they were concerned about liability. It may have been warranted. Because I think this, you know, as a young animal, the kind of play that they were doing with it, I think, would give it habits that would not be good when it became a larger animal.
Yes. And that's true with regular cats.
Yeah.
You play rough with them when they're kittens, and they can kind of bite you and scratch.
We have one of those.
Oh, do you? Okay.
It was Mike's mother's for the first year of its life.
Oh, okay.
When it got to biting her so much, you know, with her thin skin.
Yes.
Oh, she was bleeding all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But he doesn't bite me very much because I will not play with him that way. But Mike. People are appalled.
Yeah, it is.
When they see that cat.
Yeah. Well, I guess I've never understood. I guess I've come to consciousness of this mascot thing in the animal rights period.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should have let them dissect the cat at the high school, though. But
yeah.
It's a dead cat. I mean, give me a break. But I thought this was always a very kind of cruel and unusual thing to have a live mascot like that with the claws and the teeth pulled out. And I've come to appreciate also that it meant a lot to people.
It did.
And it was a focus of student organizing that gave a student community. It was a community center, taking care of it and walking, exercising it and doing it.
Well, and it was the campus as a whole, people felt like it was our cougar, you know, and our mascot. And it was one of those things, especially when you don't have the, you know, the big sports teams.
Yes.
It was a thing that drew people together.
Yes.
You know, so it did serve a good purpose. But
And then it just disappeared without any discussion, really. Yeah. Without any real discussion.
And probably what should have happened, when the first one died, they probably should have just not gotten a second one.
Uh-huh. Right. Chimega, was that the first one?
It was Chimega.
Chimega. Yeah.
Is it Jamaica and Kenya or something like that?
Yes, I can't remember. I've written it down.
Yeah. You'll
Kina,
have it somewhere.
Something
Kina?
Like, something like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember it right now.
Jamaica is the one that, the older one, that they had for
Jamaica.
A long time.
Yeah. That's right. Yes, well, yes, another person confirmed your observation that it was seemed terrible when they took it away like that.
There were a lot of hard feelings about that.
Right. Yeah. No. Other comments about the university or any other
observation? Anything else?
Okay. Well, thanks for the
sure.
Thanks for the interview.